The government has embarked on a mega city project that aims to link major cities across non-capital regions in the country. The Envision project will boost connectivity and accessibility of metropolitan areas in provinces spanning from Gangwon and Chungcheong to Cholla and Gyeongsang provinces, with the overarching goal of, fostering balanced regional development. Here in the capital city, preparations are underway to transform select areas into a massive hub for international commerce, and also to erect monumental urban attractions unseen ever before, like a huge Ferris wheel, for example. On today's Zoom In segment, we examine these ambitious city projects with Professor Won Jung-ho, Professor of Urban Planning and Design at Hongik University. Good morning, and thank you for joining us, Professor Won.
Good morning, and thank you for having me again.
How have you been? I hope you've been well.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Maybe you could be so kind to provide the background for our listeners first. Can you give us an overview of the government's envisioned mega city plan and also your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so when we hear the word mega city, often we can think about a city that has a vast and extensive urbanized built-up area, which we often call urban sprawl. However, according to the current government, the mega city plan is more about focusing on a specific area that has the potential of attracting the major transportation, economic, and leisure activities, mm-hmm. serving as base points or living base points, which we call 생활 거점 공간. And the goal of the plan is to maximize the potential of such areas as a hub, not only the cluster of activities occurs, but also it is linked to other base points. Mm. So that is a facilitate. So which means that the megacity plan is a macro and regional concept, but is actually based on clustering and concentrating a lot of activities in a specific area rather than just simply combining the administrative boundaries.
Okay.
And in terms of my opinion, in the long term, I think it is the right way to go, especially in Korea, where a lot of huge social changes are occurring right now, like the loss of population in the local cities or the lower birth rate. And people are more concerned about their living qualities, and which means that having many urban functions in a specific area within a specific time range is really crucial. So it is required to maximize and the density of development, which is like a little bit different from the traditional role of urban planning, which was to redistribute the power, the growth of economic and population across space. So I think the concentrating and maximizing density is, I think, the right way to go.
Okay. Yeah. But this is just the very beginning conversations of what seems to be a long-term project. So maybe we need to start talking about some of the best spots for connecting those base points, as you mentioned. In fact, one of the biggest issues surrounding the nationwide megacity project appears to be which cities will serve as the base points linking several provinces. I can imagine many cities who want them to be the base point. In your view, which cities are the best candidates, Professor Won, and what are the primary factors that you should consider?
Actually, it's a really tricky question. Actually, exploring the data, it is hard to select or choose a specific cities as a base point. And for example, we may think about Busan or other traditional large cities as a base point. However, we are actually witnessing that those cities are experiencing the population loss. Mm. So it is not following our traditional anticipation. Ah. So here, I want to more focus on the critical factors we need to think about.
Okay.
It is actually, we need to identify the place where people gather or activities are made. So like where they're coming from, what they do, what is the purpose of their travel, and so on. Mm. So in this context, actually, the Korean government established a law related to living population. So I will a little bit elaborate later, but
Okay.
so in that law, the city can develop a policy not only based on registered population, 주민등록인구, but also by populations from other place by entering the place for working or traveling or other cultural purposes. And those populations we call living populations, 생활인구. And city can made their policy based on the living population. So the general idea or the fundamental concept of this law is that those living population is crucial for sustaining the local system. And I think that is really important to first identify where the people are gathering and what type of activities are made in some area. And that is a critical factor right now, I want to say.
The first one to consider the living population, what made them congregate to those living spaces in the first place, what keeps them there, or even for people who come and go, we need to measure what's, I guess, what's the point of attraction.
Right. And that the reason is that so we have the administrative boundaries, but we need to also identify the actual economic or social boundaries, whether in which places are linked to each other. So that is the reason why we need to think about the living population first.
That sounds more complicated to put in numbers, so the defining the social boundaries, right? But nonetheless, it is crucial to establishing the best spots for connecting these base points. And then, of course, the next question is, help us understand the key city planning procedures after selecting these base cities. In your opinion, what steps should be followed to enhance connectivity among regions, maximize regional development in surrounding areas? Because this is one of the major points, the takeaways from establishing these mega cities in the first place.
In that planning procedure, actually, the selecting the points is also very crucial. So before I move on to the actual planning procedure, I want to a little bit mention about the selecting how we select the base points. So this
Okay.
actually have to be based on the scientific evidence. So the reason why I'm saying is that there's a lot of information caused by re the release of big data, but that does not mean there's a lot of evidence. In order to transform the information into evidence, we need a scientific method to assess whether that information is valid or not. So let's say we have evidence and we choose a place for base points. City officials can will strive to induce the development in a specific area they desire. And it is zoning, which is a fundamental part of urban planning, will be the key. Through zoning, the city officials can regulate where development occurs. And also by assigning how each land parcel will be used as residential, commercial, industrial, and so on. So the basic concept is that city officials can relax the regulation by assigning a specific area as a special zone area, like in terms of culture, economic, and so on. And by assigning specific area into a special zone area, they can induce or maximize the density of development. So this is how they try to, they cannot force, they are striving to maximize the density of development in a specific area they desire. So
Is this how, like, maybe like commerce districts come up, for example, how Pangyo started developing and things like that? These are more
That is,
successful examples.
it is in terms of economic terms, we can say it is it was a successful case because a lot of economic industries and companies were located.
All right. And then the question becomes, what's next? Help us understand the key city planning procedures that comes next. What steps should be followed to enhance connectivity?
So enhanced the connectivity, it is at the first time we plan for a place like base points in a place that has the infrastructure related to transportation. So we are maximizing the initial capability. It is how we strive to increase the connectivity between places. We, rather than build a new construction, we strive to use the initial infrastructure related to transportation, and that is how we tr strive to increase the connectivity between points.
So make more train tracks, make the lo roads longer, connect subways, things like that.
Rather than
Right.
more built constructing infrastructure,
Right,
they
right.
use the more focused development will be more focused on the area that has transportation facilities.
Ah, already available
Yes,
facilities.
yes, yeah.
All right. I want to bring our listeners also to what Seoul City is working on, the Yongsan Commerce District. Seoul City is pushing to build this massive international commerce district hub, if you will, in Yongsan City. In fact, if you go close to Yongsan Station, there's this massive empty lot of a land. That's where it's going to go. The 50 trillion won project includes constructing the world's first sky trail, connecting a 100-story skyscraper with other high rises. So I guess if you're afraid of heights, this is not for you. So the government says it will try to compete against world's other largest vertical city, New York's Hudson Yards, for example, and Tokyo's Roppongi Hills. What are your prospects for this plan that Seoul City has?
So I think everybody are aware of like Seoul is a huge city around the globe, and very few cities are ahead of Seoul. Like as you mentioned, London, New York, LA, Tokyo, and to name a few. And so this indicates that Seoul has a very massive potential of gathering people and activities. And also when you think about the, as you mentioned, the location, there's massive empty land in the middle of Seoul. So this means that it is hard to deny there's a lot of potential. And also I mentioned about the transportation facilities. As we all know, the Yongsan has the very good system, transportation system already there. So which means that it is very natural to think that we need to develop Yongsan area into more compact way right now as we are planning. And this we are is expecting that by providing very compact development, we can expect a lot of spillover effects or massive production related to like massive other economic activities will occur. That is what we are expecting. However, given the physical and financial size of that area related to development, that ha they there was a lot of obstacles since 2001, and the issues related to housing market, real estate market is still there. So, I think it's really prudent. We have to really have a prudent steps to for that. We need to have really we have to be very prudently go on to that development.
Professor Erwan, with all due respect, prudent approach to a 100-story skyscrapers doesn't sound
So
plausible.
it is like so it is a very huge scale of development. So rather than finishing in a short term with all of the development, we need to like divide districts, and then we see it will be the minimize the like the confusion, I guess. So
Okay. How about this very concern? Some point out that the new global commerce district may result in oversupply of offices in the initial stages of financial districts, IFC, for example, or Park One. There were a lot of empty offices initially, anyway. The same with the more recent Brighton. Korea already has saturated similar business districts, and it's a slow economy. The higher cost of construction comes to mind. So, what is your take on the fact that what if there's not enough businesses or people to fill up the space?
Yeah, that is a really tough question. It is really hard to anticipate, and
Sure.
that is one of the biggest concern, economic feasibility. And the current economic climate is very volatile, and real estate market is actually facing with a lot of stress. So that is reason why we need to like have a step-by-step development process for that massive land, rather than put a like finishing all the development in a short way, in a short time. We need to assess whether development was a good for our society. So, in addition to that economics perspective, I also want to state it that the social in the social way, like having a massive construction in a short term, we can cause some sort of disorder or confusion, but caused by a massive residential mobility and social change. So it is our role to minimize that adaptation process. So in order to know the ad what adaptation is require, it is so that is why I'm keep mentioning about step by step rather than having a massive construction in a short term.
Professor Wan, there are also plans to create new landmarks for Seoul, namely the world's largest Ferris wheel, the Seoul Eye, will be erected according to city's plans. A rooftop sunset landmark will also be built to offer panoramic views of city sunset. What are your prospects for some of these massive projects?
Yeah, so this question, so not like the previous question, like previous question related to economic or kind of academic perspective. Personally, I think so I saw an article yesterday or recently saying that not only residents of Seoul but also foreigners rank the Han River as the symbolic place of Seoul. So and so I think it is really reasonable to think about that kind of Seoul Eye is probably appropriate way to maximize the attraction. So,
Okay.
yeah,
At least
but
we find
there's
one point agreeable.
yeah. So there are actually similar cases around the world, like London Eye, Singapore, Las Vegas, and when I so many people are visiting that place to see, or it is actually attracting a lot of people from around the world. So since we have a potential like transportation system, many infrastructure are already there. So I think that the Seoul Eye project is very, I'm sorry, not to say like in a more decisive way, but it is a kind of promising project, I think. It is a really reasonable way to think of this project.
There's clearly demand for it. There's consensus that the Han
Right.
River is iconic, both for locals and foreigners. And there seems to be a more positive review of what this might do for local tourism as well. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
The final question is a tough one, and maybe it's politically loaded, maybe it's not. Incorporating satellite cities into Seoul, do you think efforts should continue to integrate more adjacent cities into Seoul, namely leading up to general elections? We talked about Gimpo a lot.
Yeah, we talk of Gimpo a lot, and Gimpo is more about political issues.
Okay.
So it is quite hard because it was raised by the voice was raised by from the ruling party members. So I guess yeah, it will be a little bit hard to push forward related to the integration from Gimpo to Seoul. Yeah.
But should there be still efforts to continue to try to integrate maybe other satellite cities into Seoul, maybe so that commute can be easier? Do you think there's benefits to
Again, so I'm sorry to
that?
say
You're going to
always
be
there
evasive, aren't you?
need like we need evidence, but since the discussions about Gimpo and Seoul was established relatively short term, so even like when we think about the Buguyong integration, in that case there were a lot of supports and I'm sorry supports and discussions not only between policymakers but also between residents. So there were actual discussion and shared goals, but even with that environment, they couldn't reach to the integration. So it is really hard issue, and which means that in order to have a another integration issue with Seoul, we need to have more time for not only between policymakers but also between residents, so to share a goal. And in terms of my perspective, I'm currently working on a research funded by National Research Foundation that, as I mentioned, I want to analyze and reveal which place is actually sharing the social and economic boundaries with Seoul or other large cities to
Okay.
see how that is different from administrative boundaries. And I think this kind of evidence is required to think about or push forward related to integration, not only Seoul, but also other large cities.
Professor Wan, when you arrive at the end of that research paper, would you connect with us again to tell
I
us about your
will, yeah.
discovery? It sounds very interesting.
Thank you very much. I will,
We
yeah.
appreciate your insights. Thank you very much. If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.